The problem I see with writers who take the approach of reading a lot to write better is the speed at which they consume the material. Way too fast and without analysis. I should know. I've been as guilty as the next hungry writer. Instead of rapid, near rabid consumption of fiction, I offer a deliberate and deep approach to reading that many writing articles call reading like a writer.
Welcome to the Write It Scared podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Fraser, a formerly repressed creative soul turned fiction writer, story editor, and author accelerator certified fiction book coach. At Write It Scared, we tell the truth about why writing a novel is so hard by acknowledging that most writers grapple with two stories, the one they want to put on the page to the best of their ability, and the often subconscious internal story that prevents them from doing it. This show is designed to help you identify and rewrite the internal narrative holding you back while you discover and write the story you want to tell and learn all the tools to help you do that successfully. Join me each week for a new episode where we'll talk about writing to deepen our understanding of the craft and of ourselves as writers. Writing a novel is an inside job that we do not do alone. Welcome to Write It Scared. I'm glad you're here. Let's dive in.
Well, hello, writer. Today, we're going to talk about how to get better at this writing craft business by learning to read with intention. So we all want to be better at our craft, and we've likely all heard that in order to be a good writer, one must first be a reader, and that we need to read a lot. Stephen King said it pretty plainly in his book on writing, which I highly recommend, by the way, especially in the audio format. He said that if you don't have time to read, you don't have the time or the tools to write. But I want to exercise a word of caution to the read a lot to write better advice and offer up an alternative. Don't get me wrong. There is no greater teacher, one so readily available to you as the novel on your nightstand. Or if you're like me, there's probably a dozen. The problem I see with writers who take the approach of reading a lot to write better is the speed at which they consume the material. Way too fast and without analysis. I should know. I've been as guilty as the next hungry writer. Instead of rapid, near rabid consumption of fiction, I offer a deliberate and deep approach to reading that many writing articles call reading like a writer. Today, we'll discuss how to approach reading deeply to hone our craft, break it down, and make it manageable by going from the macro to the micro. So reading like a writer versus reading like a reader. Let's talk about the differences. When we come to a story as a reader, we're in the mindset to be entertained. We're thinking passively, more like a spectator and not like a detective searching for clues as to why the author made this decision or that decision about their narrative design. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be entertained and reading for pleasure while you're trying to improve your craft. In fact, I insist that you do it. We're writers because we love what story does for us. So you'll also pick up craft this way too, but nothing will help you like the experience of deep, deliberate reading. So what does deep reading or reading like a writer actually mean? Deep reading is analytical reading for the purpose of learning, and it requires intention setting prior to beginning. It's also a skill set, something that most of us are not used to. Yes, it's slow works, but it is work that will pay dividends, I promise. And also, it's just part of the job. So if you're willing to slow down and ask questions, you'll begin to see the author's choices, both big and small. And then you can ask yourself if this is something you want to try in your own work. Learning to read deeply will result in crafting better story structure, more compelling plots, more dynamic characters. You'll write better dialogue and descriptions. You'll learn how to add more suspense and heart-pounding tension and form more exciting and original conflicts. Plus, you'll get better at developing tone and style and stringing together stronger sentences. Now, what writer doesn't want that? There's a catch. And the catch is that you can't get all those things at once. Studying and absorbing the macro and the micro simultaneously is hard, if not impossible. So we're going to begin with the macro elements of story: the author's intention, characters, conflict, plot, theme, point of view choice, setting, and tone. Then in a later episode, we'll circle back to the micro elements: language, description, dialogue, characterization, show versus tell transitions, and the like. So how to approach reading deeply to learn the macro elements of story. Here's what I suggest. When you're reading for pleasure, just keep your eye out for books that grab you and make you go, whoa, I want to write something like that. And when you find one, reread it. But before you do, decide what you want to learn. Think of it as a lesson in anatomy, because you're about to do some very serious dissection. You're going to need to be in an analytical headspace. You're going to want to slow down. It's going to require patience. And you're going to be asking why the author made this choice or that choice. What if they had made a different choice? Reading deeply involves asking questions and making observations and connections to better your creative work. So before you begin to reread, I suggest you think about these initial questions. What do you think the book was about? What did it say about the human experience? How did it make you feel as a reader, and why? What did you like and why? What didn't you like and why? Would you like to write a book like this? And if you say yes, then you've just found yourself a mentor text, so hang on to that puppy. How to evaluate the macro elements. We're going to break each of these macro elements down one by one and talk about why they're important. And then I'll give you a list of questions that you can ask yourself as you're rereading, and you might want to take some notes. So first of all, the author's intention. What was the author trying to accomplish in this book? Can you get a sense of how they were trying to make you feel or what they wanted you to think about? In what ways did they deliver that experience? Can you identify the central point or theme that the story speaks to? Think very high level here. It could be something as simple as love prevails over duty. Another way to think of this is to ask yourself what argument the book is making. By the end of the story, what did it prove? The second element is characters. Characters are the story's beating heart. Without dynamic characters who are relatable to us on some level, we just don't care. So identify the primary characters and ask how they changed throughout the story. Compare their starting motivations and values to their ending. Ask how this corresponds to the theme or the big takeaway the book is speaking to. Think back on the moments in the book where their change was shown. How did the author do this? What would have happened if they did something different? When you reflect, can you identify the character's primary wounds and fears, major flaws, false beliefs, their persona? What about the other characters? Did they experience change? How did they support the main character's arc of change, if there was one? The next element is conflict. Story is about change. I know. As writers, we get beat over the head with this, but it's still just as important. And conflict is what forces change to occur in our story. Conflict forces our characters to take action by having them make decisions on how to deal with the dilemma in front of them. Their choices will be based on what they value and believe to be true, as well as what they desire. So identify the main sources of conflict in the story. How did it cause problems for the protagonist? Ask yourself how the conflict forced the protagonist and other characters to make uncomfortable decisions that move the story forward. The next element is plot. Plot is the order of the story's events that your characters experience as they pursue their desire based on their values and beliefs. Plot events result from the combination of the character's desire smashing up against the antagonistic force of the story. This can be positive or negative. So, identify the major plot events in which the main character makes a decision, changes the story's trajectory, and therefore the reader's expectations. We thought we were going in one direction, but now we're going in another. The major decisions represent the story's big turning points and the novel's structural architecture. Also, identify the story's subplots. and how they advance the narrative and contribute to the main storyline. The next element is theme. We've already touched on this, but the theme is what the book is about at a high level, the main takeaway or point the novel is making, which is represented by the global change in the story. A story can touch multiple themes and make several points, but the one defined by the book's global change is what you're looking for. How did the author marry the change experienced by the character and the global situation to the theme? Can you see how those changes work together to demonstrate the story's core concept? Our next elements are tone and setting. Tone is a literary device related to the author's intention, and it's driven by word choice and sentence structure. It shows the narrator's attitude, which supports and is interconnected with the other macro elements of story, especially theme. Together, they create the mood of the story. Tone is, as I said, driven by word choice, so we'll discuss it more in depth in another episode that looks at the micro level elements of story. For now, just notice and reflect as you're rereading your mentor text. How would you describe the narrator's attitude? Does it relate to the genre in some way? If your mentor text is a romantic comedy, the tone might be fun or light or satirical or flirty. If it's a thriller, it might feel more edgy, pessimistic, or even desperate. My suggestion would be to write a list of 3 to 5 adjectives that describe the narrator's attitude and how it made the book feel. Setting. Setting informs the character's physical world, and it influences much of their emotions. And this will translate directly to the reader. It can also help drive the conflict, the plot events, and the theme. So, questions to ask. Did the setting create a sense of atmosphere in the book? If so, how did the author accomplish this? Can you think of some specific examples? Why do you think the author chose this particular setting, and how does it enhance the other macro story elements, especially character, plot, conflict, and theme? How did the setting contribute to and enhance the author's intention and tone? Did it enhance the experience at all? What would have happened if the author had used a different setting? Our last macro element is point of view choice. The point of view is the vehicle that drives the narrative, and it has an immense impact on the reader's experience. First person is super intimate and often gripping, but can also be claustrophobic. Second person can be very engaging, but it's challenging to pull off long term. Third person limited can be both intimate and give the narrative more leeway. Third omniscient can be distancing, but no less compelling. So what point of views did the author use? How many were there? Why do you think the author made these particular narrative choices? Consider the genre of the book here too. Is this point of view choice common to that genre? Why might that be? How did the point of view choices make you as the reader feel about the story and the characters? Would the book feel different if it was written from a different point of view? So, woof, that was a lot. The first step is to select a book that you feel drawn to, one that makes you want to write something similar. So keep your eyes open for that as you read for pleasure. And the big takeaway here is that you don't have to read a ton of books to learn to be a better writer. Instead, you need to read with intention and have an analytical mindset, which requires patience and practice, and you get better with it over time. Now, to simplify this approach, I made a quick PDF guide to help you annotate while you're rereading your selected text. You can find it at writeitscared.co/read-deep-to-write-better-fiction-guide. Again, that's writeitscared.co/read-deep-to-write-better-fiction-guide. And I will drop the link to that resource in the show notes as well. So I'll be coming back with part 2, which is reading deeply to learn the macro elements of story. And there we'll discuss things like language, description, dialogue, characterization, and the like. So, but for now, focus on those macro elements. Have fun teasing them out and following your curiosity and your questions. And let me know how your deep reading experience goes. I will see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Write It Scared podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please make sure to hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. And please leave a review. Reviews help other writers like you find the voices and messages they need to hear to continue to write their stories. Let's lift each other up. Remember, you can be scared and still be unstoppable. I'll see you next week.